This morning to find your place in the scriptures in the book of Hebrews, and we'll be looking in the 12th chapter today. It's a little bit of a lengthy passage, so I'll read it and then I'll share some thoughts about it. I've entitled it though, "He is the Better Word." And when I say he, I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus is the better word. And so listen in our passage for some of that wording, and then I want to share some thoughts about it this morning. All right, this is Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I'll read from verses 18 through 29. The writer of Hebrews begins, "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, and to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word would be spoken to them, because they cannot bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, 'I am trembling with fear.' No, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks." And that's talking about Jesus. "If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us now from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, 'Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.' The words 'once more' indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." May God bless the reading of his word, and may God bless us as we seek to live it out as best we can with the Lord's help. So for the last number of weeks, we've been talking about the better way. And that better way is really understood best through Jesus Christ. We've been talking about that, and we've been searching for how it is that Jesus makes the way for us to be in relationship. I loved how Josh emphasized that really the kind of experience that God wants with us is a relationship. You say, well, how can I have a relationship with something that I can't see, I can't feel, hear, you know, my senses can't connect to it? Frankly, I'm not sure that I believe in God anyway. So how can you talk about a relationship with God? But that is exactly what God wants of us, a relationship. Jesus Christ is the better way, and I might add this, the only way to a full and meaningful relationship with God. Now, there are other ways. Now, hear me. There are other ways that we as humans live out. And some of these are ancient ways, ways of being and doing, of living life in this world. These other ways, they can be fruitful, they can be helpful, but these other ways can never lead someone to God the Father. They may lead to peace, they may lead to wealth, they may lead to a certain religious practice, or they may lead to serving humankind in some way, but they can never lead someone into relationship with the God who made them. Only Jesus Christ can do that. That's why I say Jesus is the better way. I might also say it this way. Jesus is the only way. And today I want to share with you that Jesus is the better word. If you look back at verse 24, it says this. Picking up some of the wording from the previous verse. You have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Now, I want to break that verse apart a little bit because there's some wording in there that doesn't always, may not always connect with us in terms of our understanding. Now, know this, that this letter of Hebrews was written to new believers in Jesus Christ. And Hebrews was probably written somewhere around 50 years after the life of Christ. So that's kind of the timing of it. So there were people who were hearing about Jesus. There might have even been people who had eyewitness testimony to the life of Jesus Christ on earth. And so there were people who were hearing the story. They were hearing about Jesus, the significance of Jesus Christ, even in terms of a more Jewish orientation in those days. And so the writer of Hebrews is conveying something about the significance of Jesus Christ as this movement of Jesus in the lives of people and culture, as that movement continues forward decades after Jesus. Now, we're 2,000 years later, so we've come a long way. And sometimes it feels like that we're kind of circling back around to the very beginning in terms of understanding of who Jesus Christ is and the significance to our lives even today in this time and place. So I want to break apart some of the wording in this verse 24. The first phrase that I want to speak about is Jesus is the mediator. Jesus is the mediator. Now this is going to lead us around to some better words that I want to introduce to us today. But before we get there, I want to kind of walk through some of the wording here. Jesus is the mediator. The Bible teaches that that's who Jesus Christ is. He mediates the relationship between humankind and God, the creator of this world, this universe, and us. And Jesus Christ is the one who mediates that relationship. Now, in some circles and in some of our works, we know what a mediator is. We know that a mediator works between two parties to bring them to some agreement or to some reconciliation even. And in the same way, Jesus Christ operates that way in our lives today. He mediates the relationship between us and God. He's seeking to bring peace between us and the one that created us. He's seeking to reconcile us, to bring us back into harmony, into relationship with God. And this is done through Jesus Christ, who is our mediator. There is no other mediator. Now, in some versions of Christianity, there are individuals, religious leaders, who are thought of and function as a kind of mediator. Through their ministry to people, they mitigate or they extend to people a grace. So you might go to a priest to seek forgiveness, and that priest forgives you and absolves you of your guilt, and in that way you receive grace, and the human priest becomes the mediator of God's grace to people. The Bible doesn't teach that as we understand it. Jesus is our mediator, and there is no human that stands between us and God. Jesus, who ascended to heaven, that's what we teach and believe, is there now mediating for us, between us and God the Father. It's important to know that that is the way that Jesus is a better word. Jesus is the mediator of what, though? He's the mediator, it goes on to say, of a new covenant. Of a new covenant. Now, what is a covenant? We don't use that word much necessarily. Covenant is basically the parameters of the relationship. It is kind of the Bible's way of defining the relationship. Those are lovely conversations, aren't they? When we have to define the relationship. And yet it seems like between us and our Creator, God Himself, it always seems like there's a need to define the relationship. What is it really about? Because if we're not careful, we get kind of off into the ditches. One way that we can get off in the ditches, I'll just say this real quick, is that sometimes we can begin to think about God and our relationship with God as kind of based on how I perform, how I work, how I serve others, how I live out, say, the Ten Commandments or other things that we might know from the Scriptures. And it becomes about how well we are at performing or fulfilling laws or commandments, let's say. And sometimes we can believe that that is the means by which we have a relationship with God, based on whether or not we do the right things. And sometimes we know what it feels like to have a parent, an earthly parent, where we're always trying to please that parent. And so we'll do anything. We'll jump through any hoops. We'll climb any height. We'll do anything and say anything just to be sure that that parent is pleased or happy. Some of us are familiar with that kind of way of living and relating. And so if we're not careful, we get into the ditches that's also how we have to relate to God. The fact of the matter is, it could not be further from the truth. The fact is that God is seeking and desiring relationship with us that is a new kind of covenant or relationship. The relationship is defined by different words, by different terms. It is not what we do for God that defines the relationship. Rather, it is what God has done for us that defines the relationship that we have with our Creator. So, Jesus is the mediator. Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, a new relationship with God. And then there's this strange sort of terminology that is there, that it's that there's also this aspect of the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word. In the Bible, in the New Testament, it says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, sometimes, honestly, that doesn't really, I don't understand that. Why is it that is true? Well, God will have to answer that question. I'm not going to try to explain it to myself or to you today about why blood is required. But Jesus' blood was shed. And the Bible says that Jesus' blood was shed once for all. It's important to know that about the blood of Jesus. We sing about it. We sung about it today. The blood of Jesus. It has power. Why does it have power? Because it accomplished once for all. It wasn't an act that had to be repeated again and again. Jesus doesn't have to be crucified over and over and over again. Jesus died for you and he died for me on the cross once for all, one time for all of us. Jesus' blood being shed on the cross that he died on, it indicates his broken body. When we think about blood, you know, we wanted to stay inside. We don't want any bloodshed, right? We wanted to stay inside, but Jesus' blood was shed because his body was broken on this cross that he was killed on. So when we talk about Jesus' blood, we're bringing to mind the tremendous sacrifice that he made, that somebody would allow their body to be broken for someone else, for all of humanity even. This is tremendous sacrifice. As a matter of fact, Jesus says in the Gospels, he says, you know, it's great that somebody might even consider giving their lives for another person. And that's that idea of great and tremendous sacrifice. That's why we honor those that have served in the military, that have been in harm's way, and those that have given their lives for us, because their bodies have been broken. Their blood has been shed. Great sacrifice. Jesus made a tremendous sacrifice for you and for me, for all of us. It was the only sacrifice that could bring to an end the old covenant, the old relationship. It is the only sacrifice that can define a new relationship with God. And so Jesus' better sacrifice through his broken body and shed blood speaks a better word. Now, another way of understanding Jesus is this way. Jesus is the Word made flesh. The Word made flesh. And so we get that from the Gospel of John, the first chapter. And so listen to these words. It says this. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And so in most of our Bibles, that W is capitalized because it's referring to Jesus. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's an important part about why Christians believe that Jesus is God, because of this verse. It says Jesus was God. Verse 2, he was with God in the beginning. And listen to this, through him all things were made. There's a part that Jesus plays even in the created order. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And then listen to this, in Jesus was life, and that life was and it is still the light of all humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Praise God. That is Jesus. The Word made flesh. The Word made human. And he is the better Word. Now, so in our passage today, there is an old Word or covenant that our passage talks about. And there is a better Word or a better relationship through Jesus Christ. So, I want to give us today four old words and then four better words. So, if you're a note taker, this will be a time where you can jot some things down. The old covenant or the old words is like our passage said. It's like a mountain that's unapproachable and it's fearful. But Jesus is different. Jesus is the new covenant or is the better Word. And it says in our passage today that this new covenant is like the city of God, a beautiful city filled with joy. Think about the most beautiful, joy-filled city you could ever be in, that you could ever be at. This place filled with people, filled with angels is how it describes this heavenly place, and filled with God himself. And it is a place that is perfect and perfectly created for us by God. That's how it describes this new covenant, this new relationship with God in Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful, perfect, prepared place for us. And it is a better place. And it is a place where we are headed. Praise God. That's why faith in Jesus Christ matters, because it sets us on a course towards something. Now, I want to give kind of a breakdown of four different words. Now, I'll give you kind of the old word, and then I've got to give you a better word. All right? So here we go. Word number one. The first old word is the word legalism. Legalism. That's a word that floats around the life of church and religion. Legalism. Essentially, it says this about a relationship. A legalistic relationship is one where I earn my way. Okay? I earn my way. But there's a better word. And this better word is grace. Grace. Not cheap grace, but grace. And grace is a better word that basically, you can define it in different ways, but basically I receive the gift of embrace. That's grace. And I receive it. I don't earn it. And legalism says you earn God's embrace. Grace says that God embraces us and we receive it. Have you ever tried to hug somebody that is unhuggable? They don't know how to hug. I don't know. But when you go up to them, you try to put your arms around them, you know, they don't know what to do. It's like, ugh. And here you are trying to give a big bear hug and they're just kind of standing there. And in a way, that's kind of what legalism is. I'm not judging anybody that might be a non-hugger. Love you. But I'm just trying to make a point. But receiving grace is us not only being embraced by God, but in a way, us kind of receiving it and participating in some divine hug of grace, of love that we can't earn. Legalism is you earn it. Grace is you receive it. Now, you'll have to wrestle with that. That was one of the first things I had to wrestle with when I was just moving out of middle school age into high school age. And thank God for a wonderful youth pastor who helped me to begin to wrestle with God's grace. And what you realize is there is nothing that you can do to earn God's favor. It is God's to give, and he is a wonderful, good giver of his grace. And so it's not legalism, that's the old word, but there's a better word, and that is grace. And maybe it's not even a word, maybe it's an experience. I pray it is. I don't want just a word, I want an experience with the Lord. I want to feel him and know him and experience him. So the second, the old word is apathy, apathy. I no longer care. Been there, done that, been burned. I don't care. I really don't care. Don't try to talk me into it. Don't make your point. I just don't care. I'm apathetic. Don't try to lavish me with love. Okay? I'm done. Apathy. That's an old word. But there's a better word. Love. Love. Agape love is the word, is the Bible word. Agape is the old Bible word among several that is used for love. Agape love is this word that means I prefer you over me. It's a preferential love. And so you can kind of play that out, what that looks like in our experiences, especially, you know, if we're parents or caregivers in some way, where our love is more sacrificial. We prefer someone else over ourselves. And so we make kind of a sacrifice of love. That is, at the deepest sense, God's kind of love. It's a preferential love that leads God to sacrifice. And we understand God's greatest sacrifice in the person of Jesus Christ. Agape love. So on the one hand, the old word is apathy. On the other hand, the better word is agape love. Third, the old word is demand. Demand. Get it right or else. Demand. You make demands. You have to function under demands. That's an old word, an old way. There's a better word. And the word that I want to throw out to us today is patience. Patience. Think about if God could speak and we could hear God's voice, think about God saying to you and to me, I'll wait for your growth to happen. God's patience. So the old word is demand and demands. The better word is patience. Amen. The last one is this. The old word is permissive. Permissive. Well, that doesn't sound so bad, except this. A permissive kind of attitude or approach is one that's kind of like, I'm above any expectation. I'll do what I want to do. You do what you want to do. Just kind of a permissiveness. I'm above any expectation for myself or from others. Just a permissiveness. Maybe another way you can think about it is kind of a looseness, you know, it's just loose. That's the old word or the old way. But there's a better word, a better way. And the word that I want to use is this word, consecrated. From permissive to consecrated. And consecrated basically means this, I'm set apart. I'm set apart. I'm set apart for something. I'm set apart for a relationship. I could be permissive and that could lead me down a million different pathways to go and to do what I might would choose. But there's a better way and there's a better word, and that is consecrated to God, consecrated unto God, set apart for relationship with God, which is really what God wants of us. He wants there to be the possibility, the openness for a growing relationship between us and God. Through Jesus Christ. Now, these are better words that I've given us today that describe a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that Jesus is the better word. Amen. The expectation is not that any of us, myself included, that any of us have arrived. None of us have arrived. We're still growing and moving. The expectation is not that any of us have arrived, but the expectation is that we would all be moving in a direction toward God, to receive the Lord, to receive His gift toward us. That we are moving in God's direction, that we are moving toward Jesus Christ, and that we are moving toward Jesus's better way. That's my hope and my prayer for you and for me, that we are seeking Jesus's better way. Amen. Amen. I invite us to close our time in prayer. After that, we'll have a song that we'll sing, kind of an ending song of worship today. But would you pray with me now? God, today we thank you for your better word, for these better words that describe to us what a relationship with you is about. And so, Lord, might you continue to work in our hearts to lead us toward you, to draw us into relationship with you, to walk with you more closely day by day, that our relationship with you would be growing and deepening and moving forward toward you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.